Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Donald Trump is indicted by a Manhattan grand jury. We'll tell you what comes next and how Trump, his allies, and critics are responding.
This is literally legal voodoo.
This is, I think, an affirmation of the principle that no one is above the law.
Plus the latest headlines, including the UK joining a major Pacific trade pact and a big drop in Wall Street bonuses. It's Friday, March 31st. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News. The top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Former President Donald Trump has been indicted by a New York grand jury for his role in paying hush money to a porn star on the eve of the 2016 election. The hush money investigation, led by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, was triggered in part by a series of Wall Street Journal articles in 2018 about the payment. In response to the indictment, a Trump lawyer said that the former president did not commit any crime, and he promised they would, quote, vigorously fight this political prosecution in court. There is obviously a lot to cover here, and to unpack all of it, I'm joined by Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Rebecca Ballhouse in New York this morning. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us. Pull us back, if you could, a few hours to what unfolded there in New York yesterday evening.
On Thursday evening, a grand jury returned the indictment of Donald Trump for his role in paying hush money to a porn star on the eve of the 2016 election. That indictment is still sealed, so we don't yet know what charges the former president faces. What we do know now is that Trump is likely to surrender and appear for his arraignment on Tuesday in New York. We also know that we expect there to be about 34 counts in the indictment, according to one of Trump's lawyers.
Rebecca, as we await more details on the indictment itself, Tuesday is now shaping up to be a pretty unprecedented day. We spoke to Jessica Levinson, who is a constitutional law professor at Loyola Law School, on what to expect Tuesday. Let's just play a clip of what she told us.
We know that the former president will have to be booked, that he will have to be fingerprinted, that he will take a mugshot, that there will be an arraignment. But we don't know the details of how that looks with respect to security and practical concerns. I think what we know for sure is that the former president will not spend time in custody. We're talking about nonviolent felonies here, and that he would be released on his own recognizance.
And Rebecca, just going back for a second, one additional thing that we learned on Thursday via a Wall Street Journal exclusive report was that the grand jury in New York wasn't just looking at a hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, but also a payment to another woman. What can you tell us about that?
Right. So we've known all along that this investigation has been focused on his role in the hush payment that was paid to Stormy Daniels shortly before the 2016 election. What we didn't know and what my colleagues revealed on Thursday is that prosecutors have also been looking at the second hush payment that we know was made during his 2016 campaign. And that was a $150,000 payment to a former Playboy model who said she'd had an affair with Trump. And it's interesting that they're looking at that payment because it suggests possibly a different set of charges or an additional set of charges that he could face surrounding that payment. And it's unclear at this point whether they will use the evidence related to that payment that they've presented the grand jury to bring charges that are directly related to that payment.
So what accounts for the way this is all unfolding, Rebecca? A situation in which Trump doesn't know the charges against him, but does have several days to tell his side of events before his arraignment. And all the while, we can expect the New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg to stay characteristically quiet.
It's an interesting question, and I would say it's something that Trump has kind of always used to his advantage, the difference between his ability to craft a public narrative and what prosecutors can publicly say. It's important to note that he doesn't know what the charges against him are either at this point. For a Manhattan grand jury, the way it works is that the indictment and an arrest warrant are filed under seal with the court before becoming public, and they're not made public until he's formally arrested and booked. But he's able to sort of go out there and say that the charges are trumped up and ridiculous and that this is a witch hunt, whereas Bragg's office is much more limited in what they're able to say about what's coming.
This is all unprecedented, Rebecca. We've never had a former U.S. president indicted on criminal charges before. What else is unusual here?
Well, it's an unusual case in that it's something that we've all been talking about for years and years at this point, and something that has certainly been litigated in the public forum already. We had federal prosecutors brought a case against Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, against this. He pleaded guilty. He's already served his prison time related to these same charges of a hush payment to a porn star. And so it's certainly unusual that now, several years later, you're having Trump be indicted by a state grand jury for the same general issues. So that certainly is unusual. And so I do think we have a preview of what his side will argue.
You were, of course, a part of the Wall Street Journal investigations team that revealed Trump's role in the Stormy Daniels hush payment. Given what you know about this story, how is this playing out in line with what you expected, and what is surprising you?
It's a little too soon to say, I think. Certainly, in some ways, a surprise that, you know, when the federal prosecutors in New York brought the case against Michael Cohen and then didn't pursue a case against Donald Trump, you kind of think that that's over in some ways. And so it's interesting to now see it brought in New York State. And I think beyond that, as someone who covered the Trump White House for 4 years, I've seen him come so close to facing some sort of consequences in the criminal justice system over so many different issues, whether it was the Mueller-Russia investigation or his two impeachments. And each time he sort of evaded any kind of real fallout. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens this time.
Rebecca, you've previously reported, based on accounts from current and former aides and legal advisors to Trump, that he has previously dealt with legal challenges by, as you put it, relying on a scattered team of lawyers and advisors, a team that lacked much of a coordinated strategy beyond attacking investigators, beyond seeking to delay proceedings or casting himself as the victim, as you put it, of a witch hunt. Is Trump's strategy likely to have to change now that an actual indictment has come through?
You know, that's a good question. I think there are a lot of people who would say that it should change. I don't know that it will change. I think Trump's sort of proven that this is the sort of legal arrangement that he's comfortable with. He has, you know, I think even on Thursday evening, we saw several different lawyers issue sort of blistering statements on his behalf, some more blistering than others. So I think he's very much shown that he intends to respond to this case much like he has his previous ones.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Ballhouse joining us from New York. Rebecca, thank you so much for the update.
Thank you.
Coming up, news that Donald Trump will face criminal charges in New York has triggered a flurry of reactions from his allies and opponents. We'll round up the response to the former president's historic indictment and bring you the rest of the day's news after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
They're trying to smear the guy. They're trying to take cases that nobody else would take and resurrect them. This is literally legal voodoo.
There's a lot more at stake here than the fate of Donald Trump. This is, I think, an affirmation of the principle that no one is above the law.
Those remarks from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox News and Democratic Representative Adam Schiff on CNN are just a small sample of the overwhelming reaction to Donald Trump's indictment last night. Trump, who denies any wrongdoing in the case in Manhattan, has been counting on Republicans to side with his claims that the system is out to get him. And several key members of the GOP have already criticized the DA's decision to indict Trump, including former Vice President Mike Pence, speaking to CNN.
Well, I think the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage. And it appears to millions of Americans to be nothing more than a political prosecution.
Trump's indictment is also unlikely to derail his 2024 White House bid. Shortly after the news broke, his presidential campaign sent the first of what is expected to be many fundraising appeals to supporters. Prior to Thursday, the campaign said it had raised about $2 million since Trump first predicted on March 18th that he would be arrested. According to a Quinnipiac University poll that was released this week, 75% of Republicans don't think the case should disqualify Trump from running again. And an overwhelming majority of Republican and independent voters also think the New York case is motivated by politics. That said, the case could alienate swing voters, with some 57% of Americans saying that Trump should be disqualified from running again in the event of criminal charges. And this will, of course, be a story that we are following throughout the day. You can read much more about the Trump indictment, the Wall Street Journal reporting behind the criminal case, and what it all means for next year's presidential election in our live blog at WSJ.com. Shifting gears, it has been a day now since we learned of the arrest of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich in Russia on espionage charges. Kremlin watchers say that Gershkovich was likely detained so that Moscow could use him in a prisoner swap. But former diplomats say that a swap for Gershkovich could be more difficult today because of the poor state of U.S.-Russia relations. According to U.S. officials, his release could be difficult to secure as he heads toward a trial that's in a court under the control of Russia's security service, the FSB. The court is expected to operate on the orders of the Kremlin, increasing the prospect of a conviction after a trial that may be held in secret. Gershkovich was detained Wednesday for what Moscow described as espionage. The Wall Street Journal is vehemently denying those allegations and is calling for his immediate release. Although Moscow has arrested American citizens on espionage charges, the detention of a journalist is rare. It has been almost 40 years since the last U.S. journalist faced such a charge at the height of the Cold War in 1986. Relations between Japan and China have been cooling for some time, and now Tokyo says it will restrict the export of advanced semiconductor equipment in a move that could hamper development of Chinese industry. The Journal's Tokyo bureau chief, Peter Landers, says that move comes after the Biden administration sought to cut China's access to advanced technology that could enhance its military.
What we really have now is a global alliance that will block China from getting access to the most advanced semiconductor manufacturing equipment. Japan is saying that this measure is not aimed at any particular country. However, they're also saying they're going to watch closely for any potential use of semiconductor manufacturing equipment to help some other country's military. So while they are not naming China as the target, that is the de facto target.
Peter, another related piece of news today is that the UK is joining the multilateral trade pact that's known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. This is, of course, the alliance that the Trump administration left in 2017, and that's meant to tip the scales of global trade away from China. I mean, along with the global alliance around semiconductor equipment that you mentioned, it seems there's something in the air here.
It is something in the air that connects all of these developments, and it's the role of China and Japan. I think there is a symbolic impact of the UK joining TPP. The TPP was initially conceived as sort of a block to offer an alternative to China for some of the countries in the Asia Pacific. So it is a recognition of China's economic presence in the region and the need to offer an alternative.
That was Wall Street Journal Tokyo bureau chief Peter Landers. And finally, Wall Street bonuses are seeing their biggest percentage drop since the 2008 financial crisis. The average bonus for bankers fell 26% last year as the industry's revenues declined more than $50 billion compared to 2021. And yet, WSJ Deputy Finance Editor Quinton Webb says that the smaller checks largely weren't a surprise, given warnings from executives that blockbuster 2021 results wouldn't be easily repeated. And to boot, last year's bonuses were still high by historic standards.
I think it's still the case that bankers are in general very well remunerated. So, you know, the average bonus last year, according to this New York data, was about $177,000. And that comes on top of base pay as well, don't forget. So while this is down quite sharply over last year, it only takes us back to levels where we were before the pandemic, effectively. Now, what we're having as interest rates go up and the economy slows a bit is a normalization. And that's not great news for the investment banks. And in fact, we've already seen many of the big investment banks take the axe to headcount. So they're employing fewer staff and they're paying their staff a bit less as well because they've got smaller pools to play with given the activity is down.
And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.